Chapter 9. Spies Everywhere. The next afternoon, Henry, Jesse, Violet, and Benny took a break from puzzling over the rebus clue. After swimming in the pond near their aunt's house, they sat in their bathing suits near the water's edge and talked about the mystery.
"You really think Martin's the famous author?"
Benny was saying. He held out his cracked pink cup while Violet poured lemonade from a big thermos.
"I don't really know, Benny," Violet said. "It's just a guess."
"That would explain why Martin got so upset at the bookstore," Henry said. "You know, when the customer said Drumkeller's mysteries weren't worth the paper they're printed on."
Violet nodded.
"It would also explain Martin's comment at the coffee shop, when he was on the phone, I mean. What did he say again?"
Benny looked confused. Violet smiled at her little brother.
"He said, 'Don't forget, you're dealing with Drumkeller.'"
Benny nodded.
"Now I remember."
He paused and frowned.
"I wonder who was on the other end of the phone."
"I haven't the slightest idea."
Violet tucked the thermos into her backpack.
"This whole Drumkeller mystery is very odd."
Jessie sat quietly, thinking hard. She wrapped her arms around her knees. Something about the name Drumkeller was still bothering her, but she couldn't figure out what. Benny took a big gulp, polishing off his lemonade.
"If Martin is Drumkeller, why is he leaving these fortunes for Dottie?"
Henry dipped his toes into the cool water.
"Maybe to keep her busy," he guessed. "You know, distract her so she won't notice that he's trying to steal her half of the bookstore."
Benny nodded as he crunched into an apple. Henry continued with his theory.
"People think Drumkeller disappeared because of money," he reminded them. "If Martin is Drumkeller, then money is very important to him."
"So Martin, also known as Drumkeller, is trying to steal Dottie's half of the bookstore so he can make more money?"
Violet asked.
"But why is Addie, too, helping him?"
The Aldens were silent. No one had an answer. Jesse spoke up.
"There's another possibility."
Benny was instantly curious.
"What is it, Jesse?"
"Maybe there's somebody else who knows the truth about Martin," she said. "Somebody who's trying to warn Dottie."
Jessie pushed her damp hair behind her ears.
"Maybe that person is leaving the strange messages."
"Oh, I hadn't thought of that,"
Violet exclaimed. It made sense. What better way to hint at Martin's secret identity than by hiding a mystery in a fortune cookie? After all, Drumkeller wrote a whole series of fortune cookie mysteries, didn't he?
"Then it's got to be Lucy who left those messages,"
put in Benny, who was still convinced the waitress was behind everything.
"She was talking to Angela at the ice cream parlor about somebody's secret identity, remember? Maybe Lucy and Annie, too, are trying to warn Dottie about Martin."
"I have a hunch we won't know what's really going on," Jessie said, "until we figure out the rebus puzzle."
Reaching for her backpack, she dug into a zippered pocket and pulled out the little white slip of paper.
"Maybe it'll make sense this time,"
Benny said hopefully. They took turns studying the fortune again, first Violet, then Benny, then Henry, and finally Jesse. On the second time around, Violet noticed something.
"I'm no expert," she said, "but I think the bird in this drawing is supposed to be a loon."
The others crowded around to take another look.
"What makes you think so, Violet?" asked Jesse.
"Well, for one thing, check out the bill. It's dark and pointed."
Violet had an artist's eye for detail.
"And look at the white stripes on the neck."
"Good detective work, Violet," said Henry.
"But how does a loon fit in with the other drawings?"
Benny wanted to know.
"I think I have that figured out," Jesse said with a big smile. "If you put the pictures of the cow and the loon together, you get
Cow-loon!" Everyone cried out in unison. The children looked at one another, their faces glowing with excitement. Then Benny suddenly caught his breath.
"Annie, too!"
he cried.
"I'll bet that's what the drawing of the two ants is all about."
"Good thinking, Benny."
Henry gave his little brother a pat on the back.
"Looks like the rebus is telling us something about Annie, too, Cow-loon."
"But what?"
Violet wondered.
"Let's take it one drawing at a time," Henry suggested. "We figured out the first part of the rebus. Now, let's study the rest of it."
Jesse frowned a moment.
The barbells come next.
She pointed to the miniature drawing.
And then the number 4,
added Benny.
And the letter U.
Violet grinned.
That's the easy part, Benny, she told him.
For you means for you.
Benny gave his forehead a smack.
Why didn't I think of that?
But what about the barbells? Wondered Jesse.
Henry tapped his chin thoughtfully.
People lift weights to build muscles.
Oh, Henry!
Violet cried.
That's it!
What?
The rebus is saying, added to Kowloon waits for you!
The Aldens sat in stunned silence for a moment. Had they come full circle? Were the clues leading them back to the Kowloon restaurant where the mystery had started?
What now?
Benny asked the others. There was a long silence. Finally, Henry spoke up.
Let's find out what all this is about,
he said, pulling himself to his feet.
How will we find out?
Asked Benny.
I think it's time to ask Auntie, too, a few questions.
Everyone agreed Henry's idea was a good one. Aunt Jane has some errands to run in town, Jesse remembered. I'm sure she won't mind if we tag along. Aunt Jane didn't mind at all. After an early dinner of cold chicken, corn on the cob, and leftover potato salad, they set off for Elmford. Maybe the solution to this mystery is very simple, Aunt Jane suggested, as they turned onto the highway. Maybe it's just a game. You know, a way to entertain customers.
You mean a sales gimmick?
Benny asked. Exactly, said Aunt Jane, looking surprised that Benny knew about sales gimmicks. Maybe it's just a way for Auntie, too, to attract customers. The Aldens were quiet for a while as they considered this. Finally, Henry said,
No, this isn't just a sales gimmick, Aunt Jane. There's more to it than that.
He sounded very sure. Aunt Jane slowed the car to a stop in the parking lot.
Don't worry, Aunt Jane,
Benny said, scrambling out of the car.
We'll get to the bottom of this mystery, right, Henry?
You bet, Henry said.
Then he added honestly,
At least, we'll do our best.
Aunt Jane glanced at her watch. I'll get my errands done, then join you at the Kowloon restaurant, she said, then hurried away in the opposite direction. The children quickly made their way to Main Street. While they waited at the corner for the light to change, Benny asked the others,
What do you think the fortune means about an answer to a rhyme?
Jessie threw up her hands.
That's a good question, Benny.
Violet recited the words on the fortune aloud.
For an answer to a rhyme, Friday evening is the time.
Well, it's Friday evening,
Henry pointed out, as they drew near the Kowloon restaurant.
Maybe the answer isn't far away.
Jesse nodded.
I have a feeling Drum Keller isn't far away either.
They all went inside. At the doorway to the crowded dining room, the Aldens stopped in surprise.
Isn't that Dottie and Martin?
Asked Benny. His brother and sisters nodded. Sure enough, the owners of the underground were sitting at a table in the corner. The children quickly stepped out of sight.
Don't you think that's strange?
Benny demanded, his hands on his hips.
They were just here a few nights ago.
Well, it is Dottie's favorite restaurant, Violet pointed out.
And isn't this the night of the concert? Maybe Dottie and Martin stopped in for a bite to eat first.
Jesse peeked around the doorway again, trying not to stare. She didn't like the idea of spying on anyone. In this case, though, she felt they were doing it for a good cause.
Look at Auntie, too, over there. She's watching Dottie and Martin from behind that potted plant.
Everyone looked. Violet's eyebrow shot up.
What's all that about? I don't know,
said Benny.
But she's close enough to hear everything they're saying.
If you think that's odd, Jesse added in a hushed voice, Lucy seems to be keeping a close eye on them, too.
They all looked over to where the young woman in the white apron was dashing from table to table, taking orders and refilling water glasses. Every few seconds, she would glance at the table in the corner, where Dottie and Martin were deep in conversation. The Aldens turned to one another in bewilderment. It seemed as if the more they watched, the more confusing it became. Before they could begin to figure out what was happening, Violet said,
Look, Martin just signaled to Auntie, too.
The children stared at Auntie Two as she stepped out from behind the potted plant and walked straight to the table in the corner. The owner of the Kowloon restaurant held out a small plate with a fortune cookie on it. Smiling, Dottie reached out, broke the fortune cookie in half, and removed the little white slip of paper. Benny grabbed Jesse's hand when Dottie cried out, "Oh, oh my!"